This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Brett here today. Stein coming up here in about a half hour, a little maybe around there, yeah. You know, I want to point out the media bias if I can there, Brett. We've been buried, how many years in a row now have we been buried under Canadian wildfire smoke here in the Twin Cities?
For like weeks at a time as well.
Holy God, you think the apocalypse has come to New York City. Because all of a sudden, can you believe this? Because I think we're about to learn a lesson here. A lot of news media gets pretty dang lazy when it's anywhere else outside their window. But now all of a sudden they can look out the windows like, hey, what? It's hazy here. All of a sudden it's breaking news. Canada exists. Oh, and there's fires there, and apparently the wind pattern, it's here. Oh, my God. What do you mean the Yankees game is going to be a little smoky? Dear Lord. And we had a few days, was it last year, where you went outside and it seriously did look like that Blade Runner 2049, man, in Vegas.
It was a couple of years ago where I thought we had like 2 weeks straight, it seemed like, 2 or 3 weeks, where it was just haze that was just not going away from those Canadian wildfires.
And it varied. I mean, there was one day it smelled like a lovely pine campfire. The few days smelled like s'mores. I mean, I'm all over that action. A few days it smelled like, you know, Cleveland burning. Ugh. But it did not go. Yeah, I think that was a combination platter of the wildfires and then the honey wagons over in South Dakota. I think that was a combo platter, and it just didn't go over well. But my gosh, I mean, if you haven't seen it, apparently the only news story they can focus on, because they can just look out the window and say, hey, or walk down the street. It's like, hey, did you see the smoke outside? And some New York guy goes, yeah. And he goes, hey, what's it like? It's kind of smoky. Thank you for the man on the street interview. We ask them here. They give us freaking grape salad. That's what we get. We get grape salad. They get live coverage. Breaking news. Team coverage. Welcome to the party, pal. About time you were there. Yeah. Did you get outside? It's gorgeous out right now.
I have not today, no.
Spectacular summer day here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I hope you're having a good one out there. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Brett, I'm a little bit sad right now. A little bit sad because something happened today, and I didn't even realize it until it did happen.
Smoke in New York City?
The back hair is returning after the accident. It's like a migration, like a glacier coming down from the Arctic. No, it's not smoke. It's not back hair. It's nothing like that. I drove my daughter, my youngest child, to school, who now has a driver's license. Thank you, Glencoe. And I realized next year, two of my kids are at college, so she will be the only one at home. She'll have a car. This is my last day driving a child to school. And it kind of hit me. And I cannot believe how more emotional I got with that.
You've been doing it for a number of years. I mean, that probably does sneak up on you, like all of a sudden, wait, I'm not going to be driving them anymore.
What happened to me? Why? No. Because of my career choice, which, you know, suckers, I have had the ability to basically drop my kids off at the bus when they were little, and drive them when need be. I mean, when they started driving themselves, they could take care of getting themselves around. For a while there, it was a godsend, especially when I had the three kids and we were running in five different directions with soccer and baseball and band practices and, you know, events and stuff like that. Oh, God, it was crazy. So it was a real godsend. But now it's all of a sudden, it's like we're down to the last kid, and you're like, hey, I'm not going to have my private time with my kid. Okay. I'll be over here quietly aging like a mighty oak.
Couldn't you in the middle of the night cause car trouble? So, oh no, all of a sudden your car doesn't work. I guess I got to give you a ride to school today.
Okay. I have zero doubt there'll be some days I'll have to give a child a ride to school because, you know, car maintenance, something like that. They, you know, they have to, you know, something's going on. I'm not about to sabotage my own car. It's just to basically, remember, it is my car still. I mean, they're driving it, but if I go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hit my car. Wait, what? All right. So no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to induce self-pain. Still going to be sad. Speaking of inducing self-pain, do you know much about Representative Pam Altendorf?
Can't say I do, no.
Pull her up really quick and find out what district she's in. Pam Altendorf, Altendorf. So it's morning. I did drop my child off. I was going through my existential crisis. I go to the Y to do, because I got weight training today. I had to do weight training because I'm recovering still. And all of a sudden, my phone buzzes. And I'm like, okay. It's interesting. I mean, I get trolls that inhabit my universe. And they come to my page and they make an insult. And I basically have a very good insult that I throw back. And I'm one of them, was enjoyed kind of doing that today. It's interesting that in the last 3 years, there has been a new type of internet troll that has emerged, and that is the elected politician internet troll, which to a point, I don't quite know what to do with. Like with Walter Hudson, I just muted him. I mean, the guy was clearly just looking for my attention. And you know what? No. You know, I'm going to save you from yourself because you shouldn't be, if you're an elected official, you shouldn't be an internet troll. Pam Altendorf, do you have her? You got the information on her? What district is it?
Yeah, she is in number 20A, which is basically the southeast portion of the state. Very southeast.
Very southeastern. Very southeastern.
Yeah, so, right on the Wisconsin, almost to the Iowa border, it looks
almost
like.
Almost down there. So down, so it's not Red Wing, but it's going to be south of there, like Winona, you know, La Crescent.
Yeah, Red Wing's in there. Yep.
Red Wing is in her district.
Yep.
All right. So she's down that way. I mean, it's kind of like St. Michael Albertville and Hudson. I mean, it's like, okay, this is, you know, you do understand your district is, the dynamics are changing. You going far extremo right is not going to be helpful. So I'm at the Y and I'm working out and I'm lifting and all of a sudden, buzz on the old Twitter machine. Hey, it's Representative Pam Altendorf, blue check mark, which means you're a right winger on Twitter. That's what it means now. I mean, seriously, does anyone else have it? But, you know, right-wing guys saying, this is honesty. Okay, sure. And, you know, I will say this. Nothing I find funnier than a person with 990 followers getting a blue check mark. That's money well spent. So I've been, if you haven't heard, the last 2 days, I have talked quite a bit about this story where the Minneapolis DFL chair said a fairly inappropriate comment about Reagan, at least in my opinion. And my thing is, I think I said this both on Monday and yesterday. I'm not the kind of guy that likes to dance on people's graves. Sure, Hitler, Stalin, kind of the worst of the worst. Yes, absolutely. But a president I didn't like. No, not even really. And even to a point, I mean, Nixon was horrible and a bad guy, and he had things. But when he died, I just said, you know, it's he still was a guy. And I just as me, and I mean, this is just my Christian side. And once again, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I don't find a great pleasure in dancing on people's graves. I just don't. And I called her out on this. I called out the chair, Lee, over there, and I said, I wouldn't do this. And of course, the reason why I brought this up was because for some reason, the Star Tribune decided to carry the Republican Party of Minnesota's water on this story. And even after the last 5 months of really atrocious things said by Republicans in the state of Minnesota, all of a sudden now the Star Tribune was going to talk about morality. And they brought in David Hahn, the head of the Republican Party of Minnesota, who, your standard Republican response nowadays. Which, by the way, that's Nathan Lane from the Birdcage. There you go. If you're wondering where that impression goes, That's what it is. Grab the pearls. I'm on the couch. So I point out the fact that, okay, yes, I don't necessarily like to dance on people's graves, but as well, the Republican Party is upset about this Republican Party. The group of arsonists who basically are upset someone else has a match. Oh, okay. That group of people. The call is coming from within inside your own house. That group of people. You guys are upset about rough language all of a sudden. Indeed, you're calling for civility and decency. You! 9 out of 10 horrible, uncivil, undecent things that are said via social media today come from Republicans. And occasionally, yes, the DFL does say something that's bad, and I criticized it, which I did do. But don't act like all of a sudden we were just minding our own business. And I said this yesterday. The Minnesota GOP is a 10-year-old child who basically constantly hits his little brother. And then one day his brother leans back and plants one on him, right? And what does the 10-year-old do? Mom, I was minding my own business, and without provocation, he punched me. Whatever happened to civility and decency? I'm a victim. And that's the case. Republicans, it was not the nicest thing to say, but you guys are a bunch of freaking hypocrites. And you guys like to scream we're a victim. Now, I've caught you up. Once again, lifting at the Y this morning. Ding goes Twitter. Representative Pam Altendorf. Imagine being Matt McNeil. All right, let's do that for a quick second. Yeah. I think I'll have some Cheez-Its. Was that a Blue Jay? What Rush album do I want to listen to tonight? I sure love Doctor Who. I mean, you're getting the whole gist, right? I mean, this is it. God, you know what would be good right now? Steak, man. Steak would be delicious. There you go. You want to know what it's like being Matt McNeil? There you go. Cupcakes are tasty. You know, that's it. There, that's all. You're really good. Call you Patrick. Brett, am I lying? You've been around me. That's pretty much me, right?
I would agree.
All right. Imagine being Matt McNeil. There you go. Done. Anyway, she goes on here. Imagine being Matt McNeil and the deliberation needed to, one, simply acknowledge the wrong, and show a shred of having a moral compass and dignity, or, number two, double down on leading the way to more division and being depraved society. Says a lot. Matt fully embracing number two. I know what number two is there, Pam. And well, never mind. I won't go down that route. First of all, you have to purposely. Now, what she's upset about is she's basically implying the fact that she's saying I haven't criticized the dancing on Reagan's grave, which I have for 2 days now. Now 3 days, I have done so. I've done it online as well. She, once again, your standard Republican fact check. Let's not do it. She basically has not checked to see if I have been critical, which I have. What she's really trying to say is me factually calling out the Republicans, factually doing so, because you basically are, horrible people. You are. You're hypocrites. And then you claim to be victims. That's me sometimes. I'm going down the dark path. I've responded by saying this. I've criticized the Minneapolis DFL for their comments because I disagree with dancing on people's graves. Speaking of which, when did you condemn the Republicans dancing on RBG's grave? I don't remember you doing that. Doesn't seem like you've done that. As a matter of fact, I looked at your timeline. I couldn't find it. My point, the GOP is far more uncivil, but they sure scream victim. Henceforth, you proved my point. It's just there. Which got me a response from Cuddles. Pam, Susie, Unified here. You're going to love this. You're going to love this. Okay, I want you to listen. I want everyone to stop and just listen to this one-sentence tweet from her and just bask in the insane amount of hypocrisy. Leaders in society have an obligation to bring people together and not divide. You've clearly shown your true colors. I'm for unity, but not you, Matt McNeil. Oh, you're just a precious little buttercup, aren't you? Oh, God. Leaders in society have an obligation to bring people together and not divide. You've clearly shown your true colors. Oh, my God. That is just, oh, God, I could, that's just, can we bottle that? Is there some way we could bottle that and have that for all of us to enjoy? I'm for unity, but not you, Matt. Pam, here's the deal. I understand you're the drunk in the bar that thinks you can hit the major league pitcher who happens to be sitting next to you and says, get in the batting cage. I'll show you who's a good player. And you basically, you know, I do this for a living. I do this for a living. As a matter of fact, my comments back to you were done with one finger as I was working out because that's all I can type on my phone as I could do it. That's what you gave me time to come up with responses on a full keyboard and a few minutes to think about it. You deserved what came next. I'll read those tweets to you here when I do come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. The progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. So Pam comes at me, completely ignores the fact that I did criticize the Minneapolis DFL, just really gets upset because I called out fairly the GOP of Minnesota's hypocrisy and victim, you know, how they've always victims, and comes up with this stellar line: leaders in a society have an obligation to bring people together and not divide. You've clearly shown your true colors. You can't even make it up. Anywho, so I decided, okay, fine. I was beating you down with one finger at a gym while I was in between reps. Let me go home to my computer, sit down, and take some time and really put some thought into this. And so I went to Pam's timeline. Once again, a woman who is claiming that you need to bring people together and not divide. Dude, you do not want to go onto the cesspool of hate that is her Twitter feed. Holy God. It's incredibly uncivil, mean-spirited, full of hate and devices. And if you say leaders in a society have an obligation to bring people together and not divide, that sure as heck is not you. Your hate seethes off your timeline. That was one of my responsible tweets back to her. I also pointed out this. Hey, if Pam Altendorf is the unifier she insists she is, then when is she going to condemn the attacks on the LGBTQIA plus community and the trans community? The right sure is attacking them. Okay, Pam, start unifying. And I linked in Outfront Minnesota as well as Representative Lee Finn Key and the Minnesota DFL. Actually, the Minnesota DFL, I misspelled. But that's on me because I'm not, I never said I was perfect, dude. I never did. You came to my page. So you get to eat this little sandwich there. So, you know, I'll get you seconds. And, well, how about some thirds? Then came this. And here is the real thing, if I can. This is the real point. Pam, you've been elected to serve all your constituents, not just the Republican ones. If you want to be an internet troll, quit and become an internet troll. Your district will be a lot better for it, and you'll make new friends in Albania, Belarus, and Russia. There you go. Off you go. Bon voyage. But if I can. And not because Pam needs help on this, but because the reality is this. I really don't want us to get to a point where we only have one major political party. I really don't. But the Republican Party is doing everything in their party apart to basically whittle themselves to nothing. And the reason that they are basically becoming more and more irrelevant is people like Pam Altendorf, who are not really concerned about her district or her constituents. The only thing she's trying to do is score points with the 50 or so internet losers that follow her and constantly say, "Great singer, Pam. Oh, you got him, Pam. Oh, I love you, Pam. You are so right, Pam." And that's the only people that really she cares about. And it goes for any of these clowns. Hudson, Lucero, Drazkowski, you know, ZZ Flop up there. They all have the same problem. They're only concerned about this tight-knit little group of internet trolls that basically follows them and wants to basically hero worship them. And what they don't realize is that's how you basically don't win statewide, is because you're only concerned with this lunatic extremist fringe that doesn't really care about winning, doesn't really care about anything, just wants their narrative validated. And Pam is just the latest. You came to my page. What the hell are you doing? You're an elected representative. I'm a trained chimp at a radio station in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'm not even in your freaking district. What are you doing? You deserve the smackdown I gave you, you idiot. You idiot, Pam. You deserve the beatdown that you got from me. But the reality is, what are you doing? If you really want just to be an internet troll, then for God's sakes, the people of Red Wing deserve better than you. Absolutely. They deserve someone that's actually going to care about them, and not just the Republican voters, and not just this little bubble of Republican hate trolls that exist with them online, where they look for freaking validation. You want to know why the Republicans are not in power and just got their asses handed to them by the DFL? It's because of Republican candidates like you. Grow the F up. Seriously, grow up. This is not what legitimate politicians do. There are a lot, I'm not talking about the DFL. There are a lot of Republicans I never hear from. And you know why? Because they're elected officials and I'm kind of beneath their pay grade, okay? I'm not really on their horizon. And they understand my job is here to comment and talk about society. Them trying to get into an internet troll fight with me is stupid. Not because I'm pretty good at beating people back down like you, Pam, because you're worthless. But because you're an elected official and the people of your district deserve better than what you are giving them. Republican Party of Minnesota, David Hahn, as much as you want to get mad and act like we're victims with this whole thing, you better do some freaking soul searching and figure out how the hell you rein in this clown car brigade that you call your elected officials. People far more concerned about scoring points with some internet troll than they are about legislating and caring for the people of their district. Because until you do, it's going to be a long time before you guys win statewide again. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. Jeff Stein, when I do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Just another recovery.
Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul, as well as totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Politics Report and the Iowa Business Report come to us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where Jeff Stein is the king of his castle. Hi, Jeff.
And I don't have a big enough darn moat. That's the problem.
Moats are an underrated thing, man. They are. They're nice. You get a little, you can get some fish in there, for goodness sakes.
Or alligators, for crying out loud.
Well, yeah, Iowa, Minnesota, not so good there, but maybe some gars. Maybe the garfish. Ah.
Now, I was very concerned, yes, because I always log in a few minutes before I come on so I can just make sure it works. And you're very upset.
Well,
and this, but this is the thing, though. What was great was you were very upset. You looked like an angry man. I'm not saying it's not justified. I'm just worried about your health. And then you go to the commercial break, and the whole time you've got this scowl on, and you're talking to an unseen person. I have no idea if you're talking to yourself or you're talking to Brett or Patrick or whoever is unlucky enough to be with you today. And then this music came on, and it all melted away. Happy Matt came back.
Oh,
so if I'm able to bring you back, my life is complete.
Well, you see, it's not so much upset. I'm just confused. Why? Why is an elected official trying to be an internet troll to me? Why? Why are you doing this? I mean, why?
You must have pushed a button, right? I don't know the topic, but, you know, you have a way with words, and sometimes they're rather sharp.
A nugget comes down the chute, and they start to salivate. That's really what it is. I mean, that's what we're looking at here.
Sure. We'll go with that. No, it's there is no good to come from any argument on social media. There just isn't.
No, there isn't. There is. I mean, I learned this about 8-9 years ago, and I just said, okay, block, and it's been like the smartest decision I ever made. But I mean, let me ask you this, because I imagine this is the same problem down in Iowa. The biggest problem for Republicans right now, that it, at least up in Minnesota here, I mean, maybe not Iowa because you guys got a lot of red down there, but in Minnesota, you can't win statewide race because you have too many of these Republican politicians who have been elected to office who their only concern seems to be the 50 or so internet trolls that validate them on a daily basis. And that is not something that resonates with the rest of everyone else. I mean, it's this far right extremist, and they basically keep acting like that this is something good that they're doing. And they're just, what are you doing? I mean, I can't believe people like, you know, Walter Mondale or anything like that ever said, you know what, I'm going to start writing a smackback letter. I don't remember. I don't ever think that ever was something that was possible. But now it's all of a sudden.
You mean when we had statesmen?
Yes. Or at least, you know, I mean, back, you know, sure, there were some times, you know, it was a guy that got clubbed in the house back way back when in the 1800s. But I mean, at the same time, the reality is it is amazing to me what the internet has done, because if you want to get into the extremists, you can immerse yourself in there, and you just don't even see the damage that you're doing to your political party, because all you're doing is constantly in this realm of right-wing extremism. And I think that's the problem that these guys are having.
Well, first of all, you know the guy who got beaten with a cane in the U.S. House?
No, who was it?
An Iowan. Josiah Grinnell. As in Grinnell College.
Yes.
The guy who founded all that, he was the one whipped with a rattan cane by a lawmaker from, I think it was Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that why the Grinnell College mascot is the Lumpies? Never mind. I'm sorry. sorry.
They're the pioneers. Does that help? I don't think so. But in any event, this is the thing to understand that all of us need to understand about social media. And left, right, I don't care. It is such a small percentage of people who are really transfixed by it. And so when you then, if you're an elected official and you get involved in a Twitter war with someone, how is that helpful? It takes your eye off the ball. It again, you're appealing to the wrong audience. Here was an example. And if I told this on the program previously, I apologize. Ron DeSantis decided he would announce he was going to run for president on Twitter Spaces,
yes,
whatever that is. And it was a disaster in terms of connectivity, because the people at Twitter later said, oh, yeah, we didn't test it first. We just thought we'd try it, because that makes a lot of sense. So at the same time, Tim Scott was in Northwest Iowa. It's a very red area. And there was a national reporter, newspaper reporter, I believe, who was interviewing people at the Scott event, saying, well, now that DeSantis has had this stumble on Twitter, will that affect your vote? And they all looked at him like he had grown two heads and said, we don't care about Twitter. We care about what happens in our daily lives. Who cares what he did on Twitter? When he shows up at a pizza ranch or a Casey's and talks to us, then we'll worry about it. We don't care. So we get so into this insularity, and we miss what's going on in the rest of the country. And I mean, the whole Midwest is far better off at gauging public opinion than either coast.
Well, I would agree with that. And I think that it's because, you know, it's well, I'll say this, and with all due respect to Iowa, you know, areas where there is a more, diverse ethnic makeup within the society. So I think Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Des Moines area, I mean, not Iowa as a whole, but, you know, when you get into these communities where there is a fairly diverse ethnic makeup, I think that you can't get a better gauge than Midwestern cities, because I think it's because of that. It's kind of almost an absolute.
Well, and that's why, and not to get into it all of it, because we know why Iowa is not first in the nation for presidential caucuses. It's because Joe Biden didn't do well here, and he was rewarding South Carolina. That's a big part of it.
And Michigan too.
Well, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. It has nothing to do with whether the people in the state actually suss things out pretty well. But what it meant was, and this was the broader point that I almost lost, nobody in the central or mountain time zones is involved in the early selection process. How do you do that? How do you take 50% of the country, landmass wise, and just say, oh, no, we're going to have other people decide first? Fine. You go do it. At least it's in the central time zone.
Yeah, landmass, though, isn't people. And I to a point, I get it, but at the same time, I agree. I think the Midwest is there. But also, let's remind everyone how badly the Democrats in Iowa were. And, I mean, they kind of set that up for them because of how poorly they met.
The documents are there that he stole.
That was the Tom Perez thing, as we've talked before. The biggest problem for Iowa Democrats was just bending over for national Democrats on what they wanted to have done. And they fell right into Tom Perez's trap with regard to the caucuses. Mm. And they still keep trying to make amends to the national party like they're going to be invited back to the table again. And what they need to do is do what they did in the 80s and 90s and grow a spine and tell the Democrats on the national level, we dare you not to seat our delegates. But they don't have that spine. And that's why they hold only one statewide office and almost didn't get to keep that one.
Well, and the Democrats in other states, in Wisconsin, they didn't even run in two U.S. House races. I mean, it's like, what are you doing? There is a mismanagement that's going on there. So I want to get into, we are now all of a sudden seeing Burgum out of North Dakota. You've got Chris Christie now. You've got, you know, the great white dope that is Mike Pence. You have all of them now announcing. I think we can all see that. I think there's a lot of people now that are starting to say, is Donald Trump going to be on the ballot in 2024? Because it seems like, especially after the audio of that document, which they can't find, by the way, came to light, there are a lot of people are like, there's a decent chance he might not be even available to run for office. I think, am I crazy there? That's what's going on here. Is there are a lot of people there that are just anticipating that Trump really might not be there in 2024.
You're amazingly prescient, because the commentary I recorded for tomorrow is on this topic. So I'll share it with you now. We're to the point where the mirror plays a role. In other words, there are a lot of these governors, for example, looking in the mirror going, well, for crying out loud, if Christie's running, I sure can run, you know, and you get some of these other people. And this is why you get a field of 20 people, because they say, well, I'm as good as so-and-so, so why can't I run? A lot of these, and it's many more running now, Matt, than I would have predicted. Mm-hmm. Had you said how many will run, would have said six max.
Exactly. Yeah.
As of today, 12. There are 12 declared candidates. Burgum is in town tomorrow, and I'm going to talk to him. That means I will have talked to 7 of the 12 in the last few weeks. So it shows you how desperate they are. They are sniffing around here. But the point is that some of them run because they're laying the groundwork for 2028. Mm-hmm. Some of them are running to be the vice president to Trump in the hopes that then they'll be the anointed successor.
He won't hang me. Sorry, never mind. Go ahead.
I didn't say it was a smart plan, okay? And then you've got others who are just trying to burnish their business credentials. I mean, you interview Larry Elder, which I have not done, but I've heard him, and he's talking about the bank that he co-founded. you know, not to mention the vitamin supplements or whatever. Hey, brother, do whatever you want to do. That's great. The thing that is interesting is a lot of them are positioning themselves for what if. What if Trump does get indicted? What if he's a convicted felon and can't vote for himself? What if all of these things?
Well, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. If it's sedition, aren't there some charges which negate him from running for office?
Yes, but you'd have to get to sedition. And that's why there were so many people pushing the January 6th narrative, mm-hmm. right? Because that could trigger it. You know, sticking documents in a box and moving them around Mar-a-Lago like, you know, the peas in a shell game, you know, that's not sedition.
Well, unless they have proven, we don't know what he's got, the special counsel's got, but unless right. they've got some pretty strong evidence that some of those documents ended up in the hands of foreign countries, then all of a sudden we're looking at a very different story there.
A different issue. Yes. Different issue. But for example, what is Chris Christie doing running for president?
I have no damn idea. Let's do this really quick. Can you name all 12 of them off the top of your head? I mean, Trump, obviously.
Yeah,
right?
But I just did this, so it's really not fair. It's Trump, DeSantis,
Okay, Johnson. If you don't mind.
No, do whatever you want.
Trump, obviously, he's the shoo-in. If he's running, I think he's the shoo-in. DeSantis. Yeah. I think he's number two, and I really do. I think that if it's not Trump, it's going to be DeSantis. Johnson, what's Johnson?
Perry Johnson, is your neighbor there in Michigan, who couldn't get enough signatures to be on the ballot for governor, but he has money and he's spending it, and it's a vanity play for his 2 cent proposal.
No,
right? Cut 2 cents from. No, he's not. So there's three.
I mean, they all come in with their plans, and you're like, no, you don't have to go into the plan. We're not going to elect you. Okay, who's number four?
We're just going to go randomly. Ryan Binkley, who is a pastor from Texas, who's been involved in investments and has more money than God, it sounds like. And so he is running on the slogan Believe.
Okay, I'm going to put a maybe on him, all right, because he does punch a lot of, it would be easy to push him aside, but then I've learned my lesson from 2016. So let's put a maybe there.
He's got the pipeline, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so there's four.
Yeah.
Pence.
No. because this is the ugly truth about Mike Pence is that there seems to be a large portion of the Republican Party that wishes he was hung. And that is, they're not building gallows outside of rallies, but at the same time, God, dear Lord, they're not building gallows outside of rallies, but at the same time, they're so angry that Pence didn't play along with the attempt to overthrow the election in 2020.
Go further back than that. There were a lot of people who didn't want Pence on the Trump ticket
yes.
because of actions he took that were not sufficiently pro-life in the state of Indiana when he was governor.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem with Pence. Pence has quail disease in that when you are the vice president and a heartbeat away, I just coined that. You can
nicely. That's well done. I like this. I know where this is going.
when you're a heartbeat away and it's the next cycle, you figure, I was really close to being president. I was down the hall. I was one phone call away. Why can't I run in my own right? Now, Trump, in interviews this week, and he's asked about Pence, he's not taking the bait. He said, we had a wonderful relationship until the very end. We disagreed on one thing.
I wanted to kill him, and he apparently was against that. And so,
and I welcome him to the race. Because for Trump, he bashes DeSantis. Watch this carefully, though, Matt. He bashes DeSantis. Trump does. He will not say a nasty word about anybody else. Because the more Republicans are in the race, the less chance DeSantis has of marshaling support. It's really crafty. Okay, so we've covered Trump, DeSantis, Perry Johnson, Ryan Binkley, Mike Pence, Vivek Ramaswamy.
No. He's coming in with, I've seen some of his ideas. He's coming in with kind of old school economic ideas from like Reagan 80s, but it's not going to fly this time around. So no for him.
He is really bright. Now you may not agree with it, but I mean, he's a very sharp fellow. He's smart enough to come to Iowa and say, I believe in free markets, so no ethanol subsidies. Well, everybody is like, okay.
Secretary of the Treasury, I could see that easy. You know, something like that. Yeah, if he got the opportunity.
So why is he running? Now you see how this goes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Tim Scott, no.
Tim Scott has undergone some sort of transformation to think that now he has to sound like a Baptist preacher when he's out there. And yes, we have evangelicals in Iowa that help control the caucuses in terms of numbers, but this is not the Tim Scott. I don't know. This is a Red Bull edition of Tim Scott.
Nikki Haley. No.
Nikki Haley. I think she's running for vice president because she won't say anything bad about Donald Trump. Okay, so then you've got...
Christy, no. Okay. Yes, you and I both agree on that. And Borgum, we mentioned those two. Neither one of them's got a chance.
Well, Borgum is one of those who's just saying, hey, you know, I'm a governor of a successful state. Why not me? And I have a whole bunch of money to spend on my own campaign to be noticed. So that's, that ain't a bad thing. The thing about Christy, he is saying, I am the only one who can take Donald Trump on. Well, he's obviously thinking if he is the one that puts a dent in the Trump armor, if he's the one that actually does, if you will, take Trump down, then people are going to look to him and say, you took Trump down. You're our guy. But nobody wanted him before. The only thing he's in the race for, I think he even believes he can't win. But if he takes Trump down, then he's going to be Ron DeSantis's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the one we have not named is Asa Hutchinson. We have not named, although just in passing, Larry Elder. Asa Hutchinson flat out said, I've got the best resume of anybody in the field because I was a member of Congress. I worked in a White House and I've been a governor. Well, last I knew, this was not like going to Indeed.com and comparing, resumes.
Donald Trump had the onion blossom over at Hooters. So, I mean, that gets him in, you know, it's what you want to gauge it as, you know?
Well, sure. And the thing is, ever since Jimmy Carter, every governor has rehearsed taking the presidential oath of office. Ever since Ross Perot, even, every rich businessman thinks, I got enough money. I'm going to spend my way to it. And it didn't work till Trump, which was, again, a unique phenomenon. But you get people like potentially Ramaswamy and Johnson and Burgum, because, again, yes, he's a governor, but he financed, pretty much the way to get in there. They all think they can do it. That's why they're all in.
We got to take a break here, but when we come on back here, I'll explain why Woodrow Wilson, as a college president, really no other college president wants that job. That should tell you everything right there. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual Wednesday visit here. I will say this, Asa Hutchinson, I would, if I was, of all the candidates you mentioned there, the one that I think has the most potential to pull away moderate Democrats from the Democratic candidate, it'd be Asa Hutchinson. I don't think anyone else in that field will really resonate with moderate Democrats, but Asa Hutchinson, I think, might.
Yeah, and that's the problem. He might be more electable, but less likely to be nominated. I think back to 1984 with John Glenn. He had the best chance to win in a general election, but he couldn't get the nomination. By the way, Dwight Eisenhower, what was his job before he became president?
He was military.
But he was president of Columbia College.
Oh, that's right. He was Columbia. He went to Columbia after the after World War II.
Yeah, the big one, WW2. Yeah. That was probably the last college president who ever really thought about it, because we now pay college presidents so much that, that's a pretty sweet gig. Wouldn't want to get that up.
Well, it was Woodrow Wilson was Princeton, as we checked during the break there. He was Princeton. Yeah, yeah, they used to do that, but no, yeah, there's a lot of people that don't want anything to do with it. And, I mean, I don't want anything to do with it, for God's sakes, no. I mean, it's just, it's... You know, the Machiavellian nature of your standard presidential candidate is pretty outrageous. It really is.
Well, here's the thing. You have to have a huge ego to run for president to yes. believe you can do the job. It's sort of like being a radio host.
Yeah, well, you get apparently you get humbled here pretty often here, Mr.
No, I'm just saying as one, I can say that. But if you think about it, don't you want somebody with confidence as president? Are you going to vote for somebody who says, I don't really know if I'm up to the task?
Well, no, you want someone
that has confidence.
You want someone that's going to walk in the door and act like they're in charge there. So,
absolutely.
I mean, it really is. I mean, as we just broke it down, I mean, I joke a little bit here, but the reality is, if it's not Trump, I have a hard time believing it's not going to be DeSantis.
Well, the problem is, if you're anti-Trump, you're not going to DeSantis because he keeps saying, I'm going to be Trump, and then I'm going to pardon Trump when I get into office. I'm going to pardon J6 people. I'm going to out-Trump Trump. Where's the party go? There's not enough to create 50%.
Well, and you're also going to that will kill you with independents. It will kill you with moderate Democrats too. So it's not a selling point. Like I said, I mean, this is the problem. But I mean, let's go back to what we first said as we got to wrap it up here. But the reality is they've just gotten too much in bed with internet trolls. They've got to get away from the 4chan and these conspiracy theories and a QAnon and just get back to normal being politicians.
Tucker Carlson got 20 million views for a 10-minute Twitter video last night.
Yeah. How many of those were in Russia? Wow. That's cold. Well, you can listen to this again, by the way, this weekend. I will post the Iowa Politics Report. That's coming up a little after the show. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week. Hour two up next. Hour number two of the show here on your Wednesday. Matt and Brett here. Do I look like I'm an angry? I look more disaffected. It's like I'm still not used to the idea of doing radio shows on camera, man.
Well,
I'm not like one of those. I see these TikTok people. We're here today to talk about things. Oh my God, we're having a great time. No, nope. I liked it. I came in a room. No one saw me. I talked to myself for a few hours. Left. That's all I did. That's my job. That's what I liked. Now you want me to look perky and clean? No, that's not going to happen. I mean, you've known me most of the time. Did I look, I don't know. I didn't look like I was on the death's door or anything like that, did I?
No. Yeah. It's just, it's a little different though. It's like you're in a fishbowl with that camera the whole time because it's just pointed at you and it's there.
Yes, the bane of my existence. Hot Matt action. 952-946-6205. You get a smile every once in a while. That's what you get from me. You get dancing on Friday. An occasional smile from me. What else do you want? What else?
You do some dancing. You interact with the camera a little bit sometimes.
Oh, yes. Well, but you've told me not to put it there anymore, so I won't do that.
No, that's a call from HR.
That is. Sorry. I've got some forms to file to take care of a little bit after the show. Can I – one quick point about the Hillman Township story yesterday, which I brought this up last night on Twitter, and I when I posted the show on Twitter and on Facebook on Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil show and then on Mastodon too. You can find me there. The one of the things I said is, wait a second here. If you have a town, Hillman Township, who is actively discriminating against the people of their town. And, discrimination, it's like, you're mad. There's not like the one family is black. Well, no. Discrimination takes a lot of forms, and it can be anything from religious discrimination to ethnical discrimination to discriminating against the LGBTQ community, discriminating against women, or in this case, what seems to be, as it has been pointed out in court cases, this seeming to basically be discriminating against people because they're originally from a city, which, like I said yesterday, is plain stupid. I have never once belittled or insulted a neighbor who, where'd you move from? Oh, I moved from a small town out in the middle of this. I didn't go like, oh, you can't be here. You're from the small town. I mean, what's wrong with you people? You're desperate to get anyone to move out to your district, and someone does, and then you basically vilify them. Hillman Township, you guys are just horrible. But there is a legitimate question here. If you're going to tolerate a community discriminating against a citizen, should we be sending money, tax, state taxpayer dollars up there? Because I'm not very comfortable with my taxpayer dollars going up there to discriminate against those city folk. I'm not. And if this is what you guys are going to do, then maybe we shouldn't be paying for roads or water treatment plants or anything like that in Hillman Township or Kanabec County for that matter, which is, you know, where this is at. Maybe we should need to pull back on both of those and say, you know, until you guys inform some policies to where you're not actively discriminating against people just because they might have come from a zip code which had more than 50,000 people, you know, we need to do that. Because I can tell you right now, I find this to be incredibly disappointing that we are having a community here who's been basically told you can legally discriminate against someone because of their background. They're from the city. They're not country folks, so you don't have to take care of their road. You can go run them and vilify them. It is disturbing. And yeah, I why are we sending money up to Hillman Township? I mean, and I'm dead serious. I would like to have any Democrat explain to me, oh yeah, we need to do this because we're better than them. Well, should we be though? Should we tolerate a level of discrimination like this? Because I don't think we should. I really don't. I really don't. And so maybe it's time for us to start saying, you know what, if you're going to openly discriminate against someone, well, with that goes your right to get state taxpayer dollars. 952-946-6205. Vern is in White Bear Lake. He wants to chime in on the Hillman Township. Let's get that before we get into some other things. Welcome in, Vern.
Hi, Matt.
Hey.
A couple of things. There's been a period of, you know, small articles here and there about this case up in Hillman. And, you know, the guy's a veteran as well.
Yeah.
He's not a minority. He's not in a mixed marriage. There's no reason for them, these people, to be acting this way towards this couple and their children. It's just, it's bizarre. And the other thing I was going to point out is, you know, there is something in that area. I bought a hobby farm up in Princeton, and I used to go over to Highway 65 and down to work. And I remember they had about a 8x10 billboard, right, where 23 ran into Highway 90-65, right before you south it, before you south when you come in and you're heading north there. And it was a John Birch Society had a big billboard. Probably, you know, not anything really overtly racist on the billboard, but they had a billboard there that sat there for years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if it's got something to do with that area or what, but something ain't right about that whole situation.
Well, and I think that if, and thanks, Vern, I appreciate it. And like I said, I'll go back to what I was saying, is if we are at a point where people are openly discriminating against their citizens, well then, as a state, should we be sending taxpayer dollars up there for them to do that? I don't think we should. I don't think we should. 952-946-6205. Brett, have you been to New Orleans?
I have not, no.
Bourbon Street. Have you been down to Fremont Street in Vegas?
No, not that one either.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about? These are streets which basically traffic doesn't go down them anymore. They're kind of pedestrian streets, lots of drinking. In those two locations specifically, it's not exactly family friendly. I mean, it is really kind of drinkity, drinkity, drink, drink, drink sort of place. And yeah, it's not pleasant. Well, apparently some people are, it sounds like we were kind of wanted to try to do something like that with Nicollet Mall. They want to basically get rid of the buses. They want to put in restaurants and retail and basically make it a situation where people can drinky, drink, 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 drink. And I'm not sure that's necessarily the good idea. Minneapolis takes some of the recommendations from Mayor Fry. His task force assembled to help recharge the city's downtown core and dwindling foot traffic. The report from, well, okay, I don't want to be careful here, because is the foot traffic dwindling or is the foot traffic changing? Because I'll go over to North Loop. It's packed over there. It is freaking packed in North Loop. It is absolutely packed. Go on a nice day on the Hennepin Avenue Bridge loop over to the Stone Arch Bridge. That's packed. tons of people downtown. They've got, if you're over by the Guthrie on a Saturday or Sunday, it's packed over there. If you go over to, if you're down on First Avenue, down by First Avenue, it's relatively packed down there. Is the problem the fact that there's not foot traffic anymore, or is that the foot traffic is no longer on Nicollet Mall because, frankly, the idea, the lure of Nicollet Mall, where all the shopping happened, it's not there anymore. I want to bring this up because this is a legitimate point. Macy's used to be down there. Dayton's used to be down there. Used to go down. It was a flagship store. It used to, they had a, I remember the Christmas card selection they'd have every year drew you out. I remember they would have specials for the workers downtown at their makeup and perfume counters during noon, and they would be mobbed with people going down there. Well, that's gone. And just because someone put a name of a building out there, that's just not there. There's the Woolworths. I remember when there was a Woolworths down there. You know, you used to have more businesses down there. That's not necessarily the pandemic. That's just, we don't do that anymore. You know, malls, the shopping malls have had trouble. As a matter of fact, it was a long time. They were wondering if, was Southdale going to survive? Was Ridgedale going to survive? Was Rosedale going to survive? You know, this is, I think we're just changing the dynamic. Now, I agree with the idea of getting more retail downtown would be great. But, you know, we had a bookstore down there. It was great fun. We used to go down there. It was a lot of, you know, you poke your head in there. Kids would go down there, look at the books. It's not there anymore. And you just, you know, that's a big, you know, you have to put businesses in there that are flagship businesses. I guess you can encourage that, but there's also the Mall of America. And if I'm looking for a flagship store in Minnesota, do I go downtown where there's not many businesses? Because once again, North Loop is packed. On the north side, northeast side, that's packed. North across the river is packed. Down by First Avenue is packed. It's just not many people are on Nicollet Mall anymore. So the question here is you know, if I'm looking to build a flagship store, do I put it somewhere like the Mall of America, or do I put it on Nicollet Mall? Well, they want to do that, and then, you know, lots of bars. Maybe it's a good idea. I don't know. I don't go down to Fremont Street in Vegas and say, gosh, I wish we had this up in Minneapolis. I mean, a bunch of drunks stumbling everywhere.
I would just think that would cause a lot, even more problems in downtown Minneapolis with, as you said, people behaving badly because it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and generally that's what's going to happen, and traffic issues, yeah.
You're going to need to have police officers. I mean, if you go to Fremont or you go to Bourbon Street, cops are everywhere down there. They have to be because you have so many drunks down there, and, you know, it's just that's what you've got. So I don't know. I mean, the question here is this, is the model for Nicollet Mall just antiquated? And they're doing a much better job of it in the North Loop, the Northeast side. Other places are just doing a better job at it. And so, you know, I was down on 38th and Nicollet. That place is packed on the weekends. So many restaurants and bars down there. Yeah, good stretches of Lake Street are, you know, relatively. I was down at Lynn Lake. That was packed to the freaking gills the last time I was down there at Lynn Lake. Packed to the gills, man. Couldn't believe it. So I don't know. I mean, I think I get the idea you want to regenerate the downtown. And this definitely would be something different. But would it be better? And, you know, if the whole point is to kind of get, you know, cheap bars with drinks and party atmosphere and some music and stuff like that, well, great. Where are you going to move the buses to, by the way? Are they just going to go down Marquette then? Or are they going to go over to Hennepin? Because you're going to have to put them somewhere. The buses, there's a lot of buses that work there. And there's a lot of infrastructure built around the buses doing Nicollet Mall. So, I mean, you're going to have to build all that somewhere else now. Could you put all those buses out on Hennepin?
That's a great point. Yeah, what do you do with all those? I mean, as you said, that's a dedicated road to only buses, and you're going to shut that down.
You shut down Marquette or Second. Do you shut one of those two down and turn it into a bus-only road?
More congestion, I would think.
Well, I mean, but further east you go in the downtown, though, there's not many. There's less businesses. I mean, the walking traffic used to be in Nicollet Mall. Not many people walked Marquette. mean, the food trucks are down there in Marquette, which is nice, but I just don't know. I just don't know what your idea is here because, okay, as far as the next step, the task force recommends the mayor to include his budget investment of $75,000 for the back half of this year. The Minneapolis Downtown Council Downtown Improvement District would match the investment, which would go for financing as well go financing properties like market analysis in 2024. The task force suggested the city's investment should reach $750,000. Last December, Fry announced that the formation of the task force made up of downtown business owners, city council members, and real estate brokers, city boosters, and more. The workforce recommendations would go to the mayor. Right now, can I just say that I think the biggest problem you've got is that on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays downtown, that's freaking pre-pandemic business crowds you're getting down there now. On those 3 days specifically, you don't have enough infrastructure in the Skyway right now for them. So I think your first problem as far as retail and stuff like this is getting places to, you know, subsidizing places to reopen in downtown in the Skyway so people come down for lunch, because it's 45-minute waits at some of those places now. And that's pretty much your lunch hour, you know, waiting in line to get food. 952-946-6205. I'll tell you what, let's go Dynamo Dave here. Wanted to chime in on something. Welcome on in, Dave.
Well, thank you, Miraculous Matt. Hey, you know, there was that proposed busway down Hennepin through Uptown, and couldn't they route, and during the reconstruction of Nicollet Mall back in, what, 2018 or so, they routed all the buses down Hennepin, which wasn't very good, but perhaps they could put that busway at least on Nicollet Mall area to get, you know, people moving through there. Instead of proposing to do it along the whole Nicollet stretch, or I mean the Hennepin Avenue stretch through downtown and stuff. You remember that busway? Very controversial.
Yeah, I remember that.
No parking.
Yeah,
downtown whatsoever.
Well, and Dave, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. You know, the problem is, and it's not as Republicans like to say. It's like, yeah, the businesses are fleeing. No. It's that the market, you know, Amazon killed most of your businesses down that used to be down there. And sure, there was a Panera that used to be in the fur store that's down there on Nicollet Mall. Do you remember that? There's a fur, was it Ribnik or whatever it was? And there's a Panera moved in there, but it was not part of the Skyway. And so they were having crowd problems. I said, well, yeah, because in the middle of winter, you're requiring people to go out of a building, go downstairs out of the Skyway, go out of building, go into your building, come back around. That's not a good sell.
Not at all, yeah.
I can make another argument here. Got rid of Holidazzle. Gosh, I mean, I'm grateful I used to have, my kids were able to go down to Holidazzle downtown. And we would go down there, and I got, one of the last years they did it, I went down there with my parents. I mean, not the park thing, the actual parade they used to do down Nicollet Mall. That place was packed. It was packed for a month in the middle of freaking December when it was cold as heck. You had, you know, bumper to bumper crowds downtown. Now you don't have that. You got rid of the 8th floor of Macy's where they used to have the holiday display. Yeah. And they used to have the flower shows up there. Used to be packed to the gills. You don't have that anymore. You know, sure, who doesn't like a buck beer? But, you know, if you want to bring people in, you got to give people a reason to get downtown. And sure, I think, you know, cheap drinks is one easy way to do it. But I wonder how much of this loss is because of just people not being downtown and how much of it is just the dynamics of how shopping is done and all this just changed. And now you're trying to figure out what you guys are going to do.
And I'm kind of thinking, too, do we really have that much of a shortage of bars in Minneapolis? I think there's plenty of them around there.
you could open up a few nice microbrews or something like that. But, you know, what it comes down to is it's not just the microbrew. It's the food and it's the entertainment. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think this is necessarily the right idea, because what you're trying to do is replace the Holidazzle with Fremont Street in Vegas, it sounds like, at least. And now Fremont Street in Vegas is a little bit more orchestrated and developed in its existence. And that existence exists in Vegas for a reason. Come on down, drink, drink, drink. I don't think that they're necessarily saying that, but I think that that's kind of where they want to go with it. I don't know if that's a good idea, man. would kind of, I mean, there are some places down there I don't think want to be right on, like, ocean air. Do they want to be right there? It's like, come in for fine dining and watch the guys puke as they walk on by. He had too many hurricanes. Now enjoy your pate. Dear Lord. That might be a problem. I'm no math whiz here, but 952-946-6205. Hey, Javier, I'll get to your call here in just a second. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Javier is in Minneapolis wanting to chime in on Nicollet Mall. Welcome on in.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Good to hear your voice. I love all your pictures and all that you do. I think what it's important to remember, honestly, now that I've aged up, we're not really the target demographic for this for a project like this. I mean, I'm not going out, and you know, I quit drinking years ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're not really we kind of aged out of that. But like, people my son's age and my daughter's age, they want something fun. They want something interesting. They want something great, like, you know, wild and eventually all that stuff gets gentrified anyways, like Vegas. Like, it was, it's not like the roaring 50s or the 60s. Now there's, you know, there's stuff to do for kids in the day, and then there's stuff to do for the kids. And we just need to get the people down there first. And the people that are going to go out and spend their money on dollar beers or whatever it is, you know, weird t-shirts and that kind of stuff are these 21 and 30 year olds that, you know, to them, it's all expendable income. They don't.
Well,
you know what I mean?
No, you make actually a really good point, and that's the real question here. How much of this is just, it's changed? Is that, like I said, I remember going down to Holidazzle, and it was a family-friendly event in the middle of winter from Thanksgiving till Christmas. You had packed streets down there every night in the heart of winter with a family activity. But
couldn't agree with you more. I think the biggest mistake that the downtown business district did was to get rid of Holidazzle. It was amazing, and there were some people that went there from all over the state.
Yeah,
every single year they were like, "Well, this is the weekend that we go to Holidazzle." And not only that, they, you know, the Macy's eighth floor. I mean, those are childhood memories, right? But those kids, like these kids, like my. I mean, I brought my kids there. My kids remember going to Holidazzle.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't want to age myself too much, but you know, I aged out of the party scene, but they're not looking at me. Yeah. You know what I mean? They know that I'm going to go spend my money at, you know, wherever. You know,
well,
I mean,
and Javier, one of the other things, and thank you very much, I appreciate the phone call, and one of the other things you bring up, which is important, is that the dynamic of the downtown has changed. There are so many freaking apartments down there now that were not there before. I mean, my God, go down Washington Avenue, and how much of that was an empty parking lot for blocks and blocks and blocks and blocks. And now it's all apartments, it's all townhomes, it's all condos. You've got a thriving population. It has just changed, and I think we can see where the problems came from. I think part of it is the way the retail market developed, kind of went off the cliff for a lot of retail businesses. The model that they worked under for 100 years just didn't work anymore. But I also think it was the short-sightedness of getting rid of the family-friendly activities they used to have downtown. And so now, yeah, and especially with Republicans screaming about hellscape ghost town demilitarized zone, they're screaming that. Can you really even get the family-friendly activities back again? Maybe it is. And you know, he's right. I am out of the demo. I'm not 24. I'm not 25 years old with a good job burning a hole in my pocket. That's not the thing. And in the question, I guess the question I have is this: do we still have a need for that? Because like I said, if you go to some parts of town, go to First Avenue, go up to the North Loop, go over across the river, you know, over by Command Checks up that way, go over to the Northeast, go by the U, go down to some stretches of Lake Street, go down to like 38th and Nicollet, go down to some of these other areas. It's packed. Lindale Lake was packed. And is there still a need for that, or would we be drawing against these other areas? Because I got to imagine places like North Loop and First Avenue would not be happy with all of a sudden losing people going to their bars over there.
Maybe we should just build a stadium downtown again.
Maybe we should. You know what? One thing I think we all can agree on, stadiums get you championships. I think we've all learned our lesson here. Stadiums get you. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Now you can get me, now I'm going to get angry now. I'm going to get angry again. And I'm going to spend another half hour, and I got to move on to some other things.
I was going
to
say, someone will make that, all right, well, if we put a soccer stadium or a new hockey arena down there, that'll bring more traffic downtown.
You know, one of the big thrill company. Those are fun, man. Okay, great. All right, no, 952-946, giving you a climbing wall. That's it. Oh, God, you hipsters. A hammock area and a climbing wall and a place for you to have your, you know, motorized unicycles. Great. Welcome to Minneapolis. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Two updates here. One, it sounds like the Lynx game has been postponed. They were supposed to play at New York tonight, but apparently that's the official reason they're not playing that game today. FYI.
First time North America's ever had smoke from Canada before either, I heard.
Well,
they're saying in New York, yeah.
This has never happened before. Oh, for God's sakes. Also, just this news thing, I saw this, bring me the news here. The 13-year-old boy facing six felony charges in connection with the pursuit and collision Monday that resulted in several injuries. This was over at, what was it, Penn and 55 that took out the bus stop. Like I said, I think the kid that rolled the car, they rolled the car, they clearly were all injured and they tried to run. Good luck with that. You're not going to. Speaking of Minneapolis, though, you know, let's let our head get big, huge, massive. Once again, we're gonna basically, I'm gonna call this segment Republicans screaming, no, it's not! Okay, because you're about to get a lot of Republicans screaming, no, it's not! Because they just are so desperate to Minneapolis can't be a nice place where people want to go and do things. They just can't. So I'm going to say these and just know as I say them, Republicans who are hate listening to my show right now are going to be going, no, it's not! And so, by the way, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. It's nice to have you on board with us today. 952-946-6205. Minneapolis has now entered the top 20 of America's best cities 2023 list. Ooh, ah. Now, I think this is just Minneapolis by itself. Not against St. Paul. I like St. Paul. St. Paul's cool, man. Minneapolis is ranked number 19 in Resonance Consultancy. Their rankings, which address, advises in tourism, real estate, and economic development, issues annual list ranking the best 100 cities with populations of 500,000 or more in the United States, Europe, and the world. But this is only America's best cities. This is not like we're number 19 worldwide. I mean, that would be amazing, but we're number 19 here in the U.S. Praise for its product and prosperity. Any other vague accolades from the 1940s we could possibly be excelling at? It also ranks ninth overall for Fortune 500 companies. No, it doesn't! Which is the most per capita of any U.S. metro area. No, it doesn't! And ranks 12th nationally for the rankings overall on prosperity category. It's horrible! Sorry. Sorry, Republican guy. The city also is the top 10 for lowest poverty rate among cities mentioned. So there's that. So, yeah, once again, we kick ass. That's just that. Minneapolis, St. Paul, love you. You are an amazing city. which then piggies back onto this, which once again, really get ready for the Republicans going, because this one is definitely going to be one of those. The Minneapolis Police Department has said it's seen a significant drop in shooting victims in the city, coming at a time when the rest of the United States is actually also seeing a drop in violent crimes in major metropolitan areas. MPD says the month of May marked the lowest number of gunshot victims, 27, since 2019. And so in May 2022, there had been 50 gunshot victims last year. May 2021, there were 93. Ugh. MPD added it has confiscated 1,100 illegal guns in 2022, as of Monday has taken in 461 guns this year. So they've basically, looks like they're ahead of the schedule on getting the illegal guns off the street, which that's a big deal about it right there. Last year's total set a department record, even with Minneapolis Police Department continuing to experiencing issues filling staff positions. Homicides are also down, with 24 confirmed in the city so far this year compared to 37 by the same date in 2022. On May 30th, the city announced it's still looking to fill about 200 officer roles within the department and about 20 911 operator positions, which comes after a flood of officers left the department. Violent crime is dropping, and the fact is that the shootings are even below pre-pandemic levels underscores what we're doing is working, said Mayor Fry. It's not easy to combat the gun violence epidemic we're seeing in Minneapolis and across the nation, but our officers and law enforcement partners have been doing incredible work to get a great number of guns off the street. It's like a Twitter's troll feed come to life, isn't it? I'm not in Albania either. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara, I understand there are people out there that might not. I'm actually starting to. I think he gets it. I think he knows there's a lot of things you have to change, but I also think he knows that there's. You can't just do it like ripping off a Band-Aid. You got to do this slowly. And let's be honest, the fact that so many of the Bob Kroll era officers are now gone, I've got faith here. I've got faith. How about I say it like that? Still doesn't mean we overlook the fact that George Floyd, Jamar Clark, the shooting downtown right after the shooting that happened in the days afterwards downtown, where they opened fire without announcing themselves. I mean, there are still some issues here we have to deal with, but multiple categories of crime activity are down in 2023 in comparison to last year, though Minneapolis continues to experience a wave of vehicle thefts and others as seen in other Minnesota cities and across the states, across the country. So it's something that motor vehicle thefts are rising, but that's how much is that? Was it Kia and Hyundais, which apparently were easy enough to hijack? You know, I think that once people started realizing this, you know, I think that that's where that kind of went for. Burglary, breaking and entering, that's down 1.6%. Non-negligent homicide, down 35%. Larceny and theft, down 21%. Robbery, down 18%. Carjacking, down 39.8%. Yeah! Domestic aggravated assault count, down 3.7%. Shots fired reports, down 29.9%. Gunshot victims, down 36.5%. According to the Major Cities Chiefs Associations, the comprised and collection of law enforcement agencies from the 70 largest cities in the U.S., violent crime dropped for the first 3 months of 2023 in comparison to last year. Four categories of violent crime are continuing to slow, decreasing trends nationwide. So nationwide, homicides are down 7.7%, rape down 8.4%, robbery down 7.9%, aggravated assault down 2.8%. Not all cities, though, are showing the same trends. Places like Memphis, Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., Austin, Boston, Miami, St. Louis, Tucson, or others continuing to see some violent crime categories increase this year. But Minneapolis is definitely getting better. Yes, it is. Oh, gosh. It's great to watch your narratives get, you know, annihilated. It really is. I mean, because you guys are just clowns. That's all you are. So now we've been ranked. So first story, we've been ranked in the top 20 of best cities. We've seen, second story, a dramatic decrease in crime. But now, how about something for the whole state to wrap in a bit of pride? This is from The Guardian. And if you did not see this, this is an insanely complimentary article from The Guardian about Minnesota. Yes, it is. Minnesota's Democratic governor and legislature has enacted one of the most pro-worker packages of legislation that any U.S. state has passed in decades, which includes paid family and medical leave, prohibits non-compete clauses, bars employers from holding anti-union captive audience meetings, and strengthens protections for meatpacking workers and Amazon warehouse employees. Now, I've actually made this point to multiple conservatives who said that every business is going to leave the city and just go into Wisconsin. And the first thing I said is like, okay, let me get this right. You think the people of Hudson, Wisconsin are going to work in Hudson, Wisconsin? Or are they going to scream across that St. Croix River Bridge to get in Minnesota and try to get one of those good paying workers' rights jobs in Minnesota? Because this is the problem with your little scenario. Sioux Falls, Fargo, Grand Forks, Mason City, Wisconsin as a whole on the east to western side of Wisconsin. They're all going to be coming here. Heck, we might even get a few Canadians. Wouldn't be surprised. We could get a few coming across over Grand Portage. Hey there. Looks like you're hiring there. I live across the border here, but I'll come on down. Do you mind if I bring my Tim Hortons coffee with me? You know, I can see that. Who likes a Labatt's Blue? I do. Eh? The workers are going to come to Minnesota. So if you're going to do this, you're going to have to subject your company to moving someplace like Rapid City. Good luck with that. Bon voyage. We move because we don't want to treat our employees by anything. Now, who wants to move with us? That's going to be a good sell. Minnesota's new legislation mandates paid sick days, allows teacher unions to bargain over educator-to-student ratios, and creates a statewide council to improve conditions on nursing home workers. These moves come as labor rights in the U.S., which are far more limited than other industrial nations, have become under sustained attack from business groups and many conservative politicians. In conservative states, have you seen the story where they want to go on out there and actually undo child labor laws? Want to start saying, yeah, you're 12 years old, you can go work, you can work 40 hours a week. Dear Lord. Minnesota's Commissioner of Labor and Industry, Nicole Blissenbach, had said the new laws truly make Minnesota the best state for workers and their families. Not going to argue. The legislation's backers say these pro-worker measures were made possible by the Democrats winning control of the Minnesota State Senate last November's midterm elections, giving the party trifecta of control of the House, Senate, and the governor's office. The legislation represents work that has been a long time coming, said Jennifer McEwen, a Democrat who's the chair of the Senate Labor Committee. These are things that most workers in our peer nations take for granted and enjoy. The U.S. is the only wealthy industrial nation and one of the handful of nations worldwide that doesn't guarantee all workers paid parental leave. Minnesota governor, and by the way, listen to Republicans, wasting our taxpayer money. One of the few countries in the world that has this. But hey, no, seriously, campaign on undoing it all. No, seriously, good luck. You'll have a winning message there. You know, all these nice things we have, we're going to take them away. Take away the puppy. No puppies for you. That's the Republican Party of Minnesota is going to become the no puppy and ice cream party. No one gets ice cream. No one gets a puppy. Vote for us. It's not going to sell but well. But hey, good luck with that. Hey, you know what? Your 50 internet trolls that you're only trying to impress, they're going to love you for it. So yeah, go for that. The new law allows Minnesota workers to take up to 12 weeks a year with partial pay and care for a newborn. A sick family member allows workers 12 weeks to recover from a serious illness or health problem. The law places a cap of 20 weeks a year for employees who use both provisions. Elise Mann, a medical doctor and the bill's main Senate sponsor, said paid family and medical leave leads to so many great things: better maternal health, better child health, decreased hospitalization for children, increased rates of breastfeeding, increased employee retention, greater participation in the workforce for women, and decreased gender disparities in the workplace. The bill passed the Minnesota Senate 34-33. Business groups opposing it, every Republican voting against it. It's a long time coming. It's definitely long overdue, said Representative Ruth Richardson, the bill's main sponsor in the House. The vast majority of Minnesotans don't have access to paid family or medical leave. We see who's left out. Is it disproportionately women in communities of color and low-income workers who often can't afford to take leave? That's really why. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I said this the day they passed it. The problem that Republicans really have with this bill is it delivers for the middle and working class. The lower class, the middle class, the working class, they get benefits. And Republicans are furious about it. Furious. The omnibus labor bill signed by Wallace Stein was full of pro-worker provisions ranging from paid sick leave to warehouse safety to setting up new standards board for nursing home workers. Under the new legislation, non-compete provisions are void and unenforceable. Walls's office said the law, by prohibiting a practice that bars workers from taking jobs within competing employers, give workers the freedom to seek better working conditions and higher wages without restrictions. To help workers take care of themselves or a family member, the new legislation also allows employers to earn an hour of sick and safe time for every 30 hours worked. The law allows accrual of up to 48 hours of sick time each year. It requires Amazon, other warehouses, to tell employees about every work quota they are required to meet, how their work speed is measured, and what happens if they fail to meet the quota. So you can't just have phantom, disciplinary hearings and anything like that anymore. The law also allows employees to see work speed data and prohibits employers from retaliating against workers who seek such data. Under the new legislation, Minnesota employers cannot require workers to attend anti-union propaganda sessions, often called captive audience meetings. There was an American company. Wasn't that the documentary that Obama helped put together about the Chinese company, the company that took over the auto plant in Ohio? And they had, they showed some of these anti-union meetings. I mean, they're just, it really is going to get them in there. It's timeshares only wish they were as intense of a sale as the anti-union meetings are.
It's a good comparison between those.
Yeah. No, it is. Yeah. Well, but I got tricked into one of those one time. And I just like, okay, I'm going to leave. And they're like, where are you going? I'm leaving. They said, well, don't you want to stay to find out how you can get a fantastic timeshare? No, actually, no, I'm good. I didn't think this was going to be, I thought this was about something else. I'm going to leave now. But you can't leave now. We've got a bottle of rum for you. Okay, I really need to leave now. Okay, this is not a good idea. No, it's the same kind of thing, man. 952-946-6205. Steve is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in really quick. Let's get him in before we go to the break. Welcome in, Steve.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
I think your Republican friends, there's one thing they will never attack Minneapolis for, and it's the one thing we truly stink at, and that's racial inequality. I would bet my life savings on that.
Oh, I would say that definitely. I'm glad to see with leaders like Ruth Richardson that in the House and the Senate that there are now politicians that have the backing of the statewide DFL to address some of these issues. We do have a long way to go to fix these things, but I feel somewhat confident that we are, especially when you look at what I'm talking about with this bill, that it's not just the standard Republican, well, we'll just give the cops a bunch of money and they'll keep everyone in line sort of mentality towards, economic development. And I think that it gives me hope that we might start dealing with it. And I think as well, and when you look at the education bill, Steve, that there were some things in there that as well that, hey, this is good. There's some tides that are being turned here.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. But I'm just saying that, if they want to attack us for something, this is low hanging fruit.
Yeah. The idea of fighting for the minority rights, though, that's not Republicans. That's not right in their wheelhouse anymore, is it?
Well, yeah, and also just to add on a little bit here, we're finally getting an idea of what's going to happen with George Floyd Square.
Mm-hmm.
I think the final meeting was next Tuesday, which I plan to attend. But the plans I've seen, it's going to be nice.
I hope they give the eyesore. Well, and Steve, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. I really do hope that they do something nice there. But the idea of, a sign like it's some sort of antiquated historical marker out on some distant highway, you got to do something more than that. And that's not because we demand it per se, it's because of what happened there demands it. The police murdered a man in the streets. And if you don't go on out there and acknowledge this, well then shame on you. And you need to make a nice 38th in Chicago should be a beacon, a welcoming beacon for equality for the entire freaking city when you're done with this. It should be. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. Wrap up the show when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. An interesting thought process here on last topic here that I want to get to. A lot of stuff I didn't get to today because we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. By the way, Minneapolis, St. Paul, you kick ass, man. You are an amazing city. I'm just glad to be part of this town. We have blemishes, sure, but we're fixing things and we're trying to fix things regardless of how much people are screaming. I'm tired of you clowns. Tired of you. Could you actually change any of the major news networks today? It's an interesting question as the CEO at CNN, Chris Licht, has been canned, taken out at CNN after he tried to push the CNN network more towards the right in an effort to appeal to, I guess, Trump advertisers, Republican advertisers, which it was kind of foolish anyway, because here's the question I have is, can you change any of these guys now? All right, let's run them. I mean, as much as Republicans will like to scream that this is not true, Fox News is right wing. Yes. MSNBC is left wing, undeniably. CNN pre-licked was stumbling its way down the middle. Like I'd say BBC. BBC was better at it than CNN is, for sure. PBS, I think, does a pretty good job of straightforward news reporting. I don't think that they, you know, the PBS system, I think, does a pretty good job. I'm not going to necessarily talk about any of the ancillary, you know, secondary far right or far left news outlets, but I'll throw in there CBS News, ABC News as well, just to kind of get them in there. And I think for the most part, both CBS and ABC, CBS might lean a little left, but I think ABC is pretty much kind of in the middle as well when I watch their news. The reality is I think people are set in their ways and that you know, people who watch CNN want news delivered in a very specific manner. And it just made a lot of people mad. And I think this whole experiment with CNN just tells me something. I just don't think you're going to... The idea that people have is that somehow, some way, the Murdochs are going to basically drive Fox News off the cliff and a Democrat will swoop on in and take it over and turn it into a left-leaning news network. I just don't think it's possible. I think that the more likely thing is that they just shutter... They lock the doors, turn out the lights, and shut it down. I think that the MSNBC, I don't think that you would have much success pushing that network far to the right. It would not. So it's an interesting thing to kind of speculate a little bit on in regards to the news networks are so ingrained in their specific lanes. I think if anyone tries to change that, it backfires tremendously. And I think we just saw that with CNN. Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake. That is up next with Robert Pilot and crew. We are back tomorrow. Have a good one. Till then, see ya.